I have an interview with David Corrigan of the Grand Ole Game Room Expo happening this November in Nashville. But first, you know I have to talk about the Nintendo Switch. Tonight is October 23rd, 2016, and the Bobby Blackwolf Show, it's up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is Edwin Akeriper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash. Later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
It's actually the second time I had to record the intro, because I was like, yeah, we're going to have chat calls and chat comments and calls. And I'm like, no, we're not, because it's actually Saturday afternoon. Like, the sun's out. I don't even have chat open. Nothing's open. Because I'm actually unavailable on Sunday night, usually on October 23rd, because I've got other stuff to do, and I'm not going to make it home in time. But I did not want to be away from the podcast feed, and actually this is also airing on the Voice Geeks Network. Checksons are not live for them, so you're going to have to listen to the podcast feed, and you're going to have to listen for the passphrase there, so you can still get points. So, but at least it should happen earlier in the week than it usually does. But we're usually at the Voice of Geeks Network at live.vognetwork.com. If you're listening live on Sunday nights and you're hearing this on the radio feed, go ahead and join chat, and you can make fun of me because I won't be able to see it because I won't be there. And you can also comment on an episode, this episode, or any of the episodes over at vognetwork.com. We do have an interview that we're going to be playing in a little bit. But first, it kind of sucks that I'm also not going to have a live show next week. And so I was about to have to go 3 weeks without talking about what used to be called the Nintendo NX. It has a name now. And I'm going to use this time to talk about it. And it kind of sucks because chat won't be able to talk back at me. And I really feel bad about that, because even though I have the biggest microphone, I like to include other people and what they think. But here I'm just going to talk about what I think about it. It's kind of interesting. So if you've been living under a rock or you only cared about Red Dead Redemption 2 having a trailer, which I was disappointed it's not Rockstar Table Tennis, but that's just me. Nintendo finally revealed what the NX actually is. And so here it is, November. It's still coming out in March 2017. I still haven't heard anybody legitimately say, yeah, that's cool, but I wish they had unveiled it at E3, and so I'm not going to buy it. It didn't hurt them at all to wait until October to unveil it, because it is what it is. And if people aren't going to buy it because it was October when they heard about it instead of July, then that's not Nintendo's fault. That's a personal problem. But this, it is a handheld that plugs into your TV. It's a tablet that plugs into your TV as well. So essentially the idea of it is that it's a tablet, kind of looks like kind of like an iPad, that you can latch controllers, like half of a controller on either side, and you can hold it that way. Or you can actually put it in this dock that's by your entertainment center, and then it plays on the TV. And then and you can actually like pull it out at any time, mid game, whatever, and just continue playing. And so it is basically the combination console handheld that all the rumors that I've been refusing to talk about have been saying. Although some people thought that it was going to be a touchscreen tablet with no physical buttons, now I think it's actually the other way around. I think it's got physical buttons and no touchscreen capability. I'm not sure. If you've watched the 3.5 minute trailer that debuted on YouTube and crashed Nintendo's website, you know just as much as I do about this thing. What I think that this means is Nintendo really is leaving the console space. They're no longer going to make a console because they realize they can't compete with Sony and Microsoft. And so they're basically going to try to make their own space. They're probably more competing with you know, iPads and you know, Google tablets and stuff like that, and maybe Apple TV, being able to play these games on your TV or on your mobile device, and they're trying to compete in that space, which is different than the Xbox and PlayStation. The Xbox and PlayStation are trying to be the media devices for your home, whereas this is a handheld that plugs in very easily into your TV. And that's what they're going for with this. So they also haven't really been competing with Sony and Microsoft for years. They've been saying this since the Wii. They're not competing with them. They're competing with Apple, is kind of what they were saying with the Wii U or with the 3DS and stuff like that. So I think this just cements the fact that they're not in the same. They're not doing the same thing that Sony and Microsoft is. And I think that's okay. And it's going to be interesting to see if this is going to take off. If people are going to warm up to this. In terms of kind of the more mainstream audience and not necessarily the hardcore gamers. Because the hardcore gamers, they're going to go to Sony and Microsoft because those are game consoles and it's the Uber graphics and the online play. And that's what they're going to gravitate to, which is fine. One thing I did kind of want to say is because you know I have to mention this at some point. You know, or at least I know, at some point in the next couple years, there's going to be a VR headset that Nintendo's going to release that you put this tablet inside. There's got to be. And we'll finally get that Nintendo On, the thing that people were, you know, the guy in South America who wanted to get hired as a marketing person at Nintendo, he made that whole Nintendo On preview trailer thing before VR, kind of before Oculus kind of came into the scene. We might finally get that. Who knows? But this device is definitely made to possibly be slotting into a VR headset. It's going to be a big VR headset because that's a big tablet, but it's not unheard of. You know that, you know, I know that people have seen like the Gear VR and the stuff that Google's Daydream is doing where you put in a phone. But there have been VR headsets where you put in an iPad, for instance. So they do exist. And it might be a little heavier. That's the only kind of downside to it. But, you know, they're probably going to work on something that'll let that happen to where you can have VR. So the open questions that we have about the Nintendo Switch that nobody knows the answer to, and Nintendo's not going to answer these questions until January, maybe, or February, is what's the battery life like on this on the tablet? So because they showed, you know, you took it and you played it on the plane, or you just, you know, took it out and played it while you're walking your dog at 3 a.m., whatever. And but what's the actual battery life? And can you charge, you know, how do you charge it outside of the dock if you don't have the dock with you? You know, like if you're on an airplane, which obviously they've thought of, but, you know, the new 3DS doesn't include a charger. So they're going to give you a charger in this, or you got to buy it separate. The only reason I'm going to ask about this, because usually I don't care. So what are the specs? And the reason I kind of want to know, you know, what the specs are is because this is a tablet computer. This is not a full-fledged console. So, you know, they showed Skyrim running on it, but, like, is it last-gen graphics? It'd be kind of nice to know, like, what the hardware limitations are in that sense to know kind of what we're going to get from it, knowing it is a tablet. It's not a console. It's a tablet. I'm pretty sure that dock, all it is a dock. And all it's basically just feeding the output from the tablet and putting it into the out to the TV, and I don't think it's doing anything. I think the PlayStation VR breakout box actually does more processing than that dock's going to. But that's just me commenting on a 3.5-minute trailer, and nobody really knows anything more, or the ones that do aren't saying anything. There are a lot of moving parts on it, especially the controllers. They snap on the sides, and then you can take them out and put them in another thing, and you can have, you know, and they're called Joy-Con, is what they're called, at least in the Japanese materials. So what are the durability of those? Because that's a lot of moving parts. And I remember the 3DS hinges always breaking. And Nintendo's moving parts always haven't always done too well. So I know that they showed another controller, like what's called like the Pro Controller, the equivalent for the Wii U. They showed that, so you can use that as well for your multiplayer gaming. But, you know, the controllers that snap on the side, how durable is that going to be? And what happens when you lose one of them? If you lose the right half of your Joy-Con, what happens? Do you get to buy another one? Also, does that mean that they can put other peripherals? Can you buy specific Joy-Cons that go on the side? I hate that term, but I'll get used to it. I didn't like Wii either. But, you know, different types of controllers, because that's kind of what they did with the Wii Nunchuck, because you had different additions, you know, different things that could be in your left hand that were not just the navigation or the Nunchuck, the navigation controllers, the Sony Move correspondent. Anyway, are they going to have different things that can go in the side and maybe themed? So you have a Splatoon-themed controller that goes on the side. There's a lot of stuff they could do with that. I don't know if they're actually going to do that or what's the process of that and how much is that going to cost, stuff like that. So those are kind of some of the open questions. We already know it's not going to take 3DS cards. So even though the games are on cartridges that look like 3DS cartridges, it's not going to play 3DS games or DS games, or at least that cartridge slot's not going to do them, which is why I'm wondering if it's even a touchscreen. It may not even be a touchscreen, because you can't really do 3DS games on there without a touchscreen. And, you know, some people are saying, well, you can just, you know, and it's not a second screen. So, you know, people were saying, oh, you could just, you know, you have the bottom screen in front of you and the top screen up on the TV, and it's not a second screen, because the minute you take the tablet out of the dock, it's off your TV. So there's no second screen gaming. They're kind of getting rid of the second screen element at all, in general. But, you know, people are saying, well, you could turn it vertical, and you could have it that way, but then you'd have to have controllers that snapped on the top and the bottom, which I don't think that's going to be able to be the case, because that's where all the ports are. That's where all your plugs are. So I don't think that it's going to be a touchscreen, so you're not going to be able to emulate 3DS games on it, which is probably why they may still be making 3DS games, because that's going to be your gaming handheld that has the touchscreen-enabled games. So there's a lot of questions about it, but at least now we know what it is, and they've already reiterated March 2017 is when it's coming out. They did show a Zelda, the new Zelda, Breath of the Wild with it. They showed Skyrim with it. Then they showed, I'm pretty sure that was Mario Kart 8. They just showed Wii U software, and they showed a Mario game, and it was like, oh my God, there's a new Mario. And I'm like, no, it's probably the same Mario that was on Wii U. You know, they probably just showed they showed NBA 2K 17 or 18 or whatever number we're on now. They showed that. They did show that apparently you can do ad hoc multiplayer, so they actually had a bunch of people with their Switches. They stopped playing real basketball and got around a picnic table and played fake basketball. The trailer had a lot of weird situations in it, but they showed that. So there's a lot of things we can infer from the trailer, but we won't actually know more until we get closer to the date. But now you know what, if you want to save up for it, you've gotten the high-level explanation of what it is. You've seen it, and now you can decide if you want to save up your money to purchase it in March, or if you would rather just get something on Black Friday or get something for the holiday season this year. So I think the timing is just fine. I know other people were very upset they didn't see this trailer 3 months ago, but none of them are going to say, I'm not going to buy it because it's October and I finally learned about it. They didn't announce price or anything either. But they just announced what it actually was. So I didn't want to go 2 weeks without even talking about the NX. There probably will still be a pre-recorded show next week on October 30th. What I'm actually probably going to do there is actually take some of the interviews that I've done for the VOG Network YouTube channel and probably put the audio in here. I figured I've got a bunch of interviews, and I've even got some that we haven't even posted yet. I don't think the video really turned out all that well, the video portion, but I think it'll still work as an audio thing. So I may put some other interviews that I've recorded at like Fandom Fest or at Siege and put them in the podcast feed, and that's what you're going to get next week, because there's going to be no live show on October 30th either. But that's enough about that. We actually do have an interview. So I have here with me David Corrigan from the Grand Ole Game Room Expo, which is going to be happening next month in November up in Nashville, Tennessee, and I have him on the line right now. David, thank you so much for spending some time with me. Tell me a little bit about the Grand Ole Game Room Expo.
Okay, yeah, it's a arcade pinball video game expo. It's going November 11th through 13th. And going to be going all weekend, going to have about close to 200 arcade pinball machines. You know, some classics, some new pinballs, a lot of consoles, about 75 consoles, it's looking like. Bunch of tournaments on Smash Brothers, Street Fighter V, Mortal Kombat, stuff like that. Pinball and an arcade tournament, too. And then recently I bought some VR gear. So I'll have PlayStation VR set up, a couple of those, and some guys from the Nashville VR Club are going to bring some Oculus and stuff out. So we'll have some of that going, too, trying to round it all out and hit really a little bit of all the aspects of gaming that are going on.
Cool. So, you know, are the pinball and arcade tables, are those like provided by fans, or is it there's like a big community in the area that's going to be providing those?
Yeah, well, there's actually a whole lot of arcade pinball machines in Middle Tennessee for some reason. You know, about the past 5 years or so, it's really blown up. There's, I collect myself. I own about 40 machines, mostly all arcade. Then there's Game Galaxy Arcade in the area. They have three locations now, so probably about 400 machines between those. And then there's a couple of barcades in town. There's a new arcade in Murfreesboro, and then there's a guy who's planning. A lot of collectors know, but it's kind of not on the radar yet, but like a huge world's largest arcade kind of thing out here. Uh-huh. So he has several thousand, maybe.
Oh, wow.
But so, you know, it's a mix of just your average collector that has a couple of machines. There, you know, a guy will bring out one or two, and then I'm bringing out a whole bunch. And some of the guys that own the arcades are letting me use a lot. So it's all over the place, really.
So are any of these going to be for sale? I know, like, when I've gone to other pinball and arcade expos, some of the machines are for sale.
Yeah, definitely. I'll have a couple for sale. Not many of mine are. But there's also, a few people that kind of do it more as a side business. So they fix them up, and they'll have definitely several machines for sale, several pinball. We're looking, it'll probably be about 60-65% pinball. So it's going to be, if you're really into pinball, it'll be a good show for you for that. So, and then got a few distributors who are selling brand new machines, like the Hobbit and Wizard of Oz and stuff like that. So, I mean, those are always be for sale there.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say. I guess Nashville's becoming a huge arcade mecca. There was an arcade that opened up, I believe, Goodlettsville. Is that a suburb?
Yeah, that's not too far away.
So there was a place up there in the early 2000s called Dance Beat Arcade, and the reason that I knew about it is because I kind of grew up kind of playing like a lot of the Japanese rhythm games, like your Beat Manias and your Drum Manias, and not really the Dance Dance Revolution, but same company. And that was supposed to be, it was like a two-story arcade up there that had all those imported Japanese machines.
Wow.
It lasted a couple years, and then the owner, I guess, didn't know what he was doing and lost everything. I remember I've driven to Nashville before just to go to an arcade. I think I'd went there like three times during its run. So it's interesting to know that there's a lot more out there.
Yeah, and it's, I'd say about 8 years or so ago, there were some that would still try and pop up, but it just wasn't the right timing. You know, it hadn't gotten hot again like it has in the past, 2 years or so. Mm-hmm. So now things are, some of these businesses are making it work, where I think, 8-10 years ago, people were nostalgic and wanted to make it work, but it just, there wasn't a way to have the money work out, unless you're selling beer and stuff.
Well, what's changed? Like, what has gotten it hot? What's changed in the last 2 years to make this happen?
I think a lot of it is pinball, for sure. The new pinball companies that are, there used to be, well, for a while, all of them were shut down. Then Stern came back around, finally, and started making machines again. And now you've got Jersey Jack, you've got Highway Pinball, you've got Spooky Pinball, and There's probably a couple others I can't remember, but all those machines are, you know, really elaborate, really cool, really expensive too. So if you have them on location, you know, people will come out to play those. Right. It's not the kind of thing a whole lot of people can own, although, you know, there's definitely a home market for all that stuff, mm-hmm. but they're high dollar. And then a lot of the arcades, they're either doing the beer thing where they're, you know, they've got craft beers in there and mm-hmm. maybe the machines are just free to play. So, you know, they're not even trying to make money on them. It's just more of a fixture of the restaurant or bar. And then, you know, some places are good at bringing people in for Smash Brothers and Street Fighter and stuff, mm-hmm. too. So they'll have a mix of maybe tournaments and arcade. A couple of the arcades here in town do that. So, you know, it's really all these different avenues you got to pull people in to make it work. If you just have machines sitting there on quarters, I think, you know, you'd lose money quick going that route.
Yeah, and I've noticed, like, some arcades, like, or there was one classic arcade, and I don't know if they're still around down here in Georgia, that actually just charged a cover charge, and then everything inside was free play.
Yeah, that's what all the ones here do. None of them are on coin use anymore. Well, so I guess Dave and Buster's still does that stuff, right. But you know, that's a whole different model there.
Yeah. So what made you want to start a gaming expo like this in Nashville?
Let's see, about 3 years ago, I think, was when I went to the Louisville Arcade Expo. That was my first time going to any of these shows. I mean, they've definitely been going on longer, but just wasn't something that was on my radar. But I mean, once I got into a show like this, it was just so much fun to have all these machines in a hotel setting for a weekend where you can play and just hang out the whole time. And then, yeah, I've been there in the Atlanta show back and forth a couple times. Mm-hmm. So after doing those, and then, of course, Nashville's like dead center between the two areas, I was like, yeah, I need to make this happen here. And, you know, Nashville's like kind of got that hot city stigma going on right now. Mm-hmm. Downtown Nashville's blowing up. There's people all over the place. Very family-friendly downtown, which is, you know, nice. Not a lot of downtowns are, but Nashville certainly is. And so, yeah, it just seemed like the right time, good location. You know, I'm right here at Nashville, so I know most of the collectors, owned a bunch of machines already. So it was definitely, you know, a little bit of a leap to take on an event like that, but it seemed like something I could pull off, so went for it.
So what is making, other than the location being Nashville, which is an amazing town, what kind of makes, what are you trying to do that makes your event a little bit unique compared to, like, the Louisville Gaming Arcade Expo or Southern Fried Game Room Expo or even California Extreme out on the West Coast?
Well, I tried to get in some rare stuff that I know there's a lot of rare machines in town. And that's, you know, when you go to a few shows, you see a lot of the same stuff. You know, of course, see like the top Miss Pack and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, when you know there's some rare stuff around, I really wanted to pull some of that out for some of the collectors that live around that really care about, oh man, I haven't never seen this machine.
Yeah.
You know, the average person may not even be the funnest machine to play, but, so I am trying to pull some of those out. A lot of them I can't say for sure they're going to be here yet. I'm still wheeling and dealing with some people, you know, to get some of those machines out. But I hope to have a decent selection of things you just don't see around. You would see them out in California, but in this area you wouldn't. And then we invest a lot more in modern consoles, so I've got a lot of Wii U's, a lot of Xbox One's, PS4's, and we'll be running a lot of modern fighting games and tournaments. Cool. A little bit more than I've seen at an arcade expo. They usually kind of stick with classic systems just to go along with the classic games, not too heavy in the modern stuff. And then, like, you know, the PlayStation VR gear and some stuff like that, trying to differentiate a little bit.
And I noticed on your website you also mentioned there's tabletop gaming for people that don't want to look at a screen.
Yeah, for sure. That was something I didn't know if I could incorporate in, but we had a good space Ultimate Games and Comics, which is in Kentucky, they're going to run the whole room for us that weekend. And I saw them run a room at an anime convention here in town. And, man, they just did a fantastic job. They had all their stuff set up. Everything was just run smoothly. And it was the best part of that convention. So I was really happy to get those guys to come out and run it. So that'll be a nice addition for sure. So, they're going to constantly have events going on. So it's not just, hey, it's an empty room and do whatever you want. They're definitely pushing stuff they'll have going on, so that's cool.
So are you guys also going to be doing kind of panels or anything?
Yeah, we have a room set up for panels. I guess our main guest is Scott Patterson, who's been in some documentaries, a lot of game stuff, and you see him a lot online with the National Video Game Team and documentaries. So he's a real positive guy, and I definitely wanted, positive people out. That was the kind of the vibe I'm going for. So most of the guests I went after were people I really enjoy their content online and their YouTube stuff, and don't have a lot of drama following them around, so. Scott's definitely, he'll be a great guest, and like the guys from the Broken Token podcast in Louisville, they're going to come down and do some panels. They're great, too. They did a great job in Atlanta. They did some panels there.
Yeah, I was on some with them.
And I've got some guys. See, I'm like a game developer, too. I write iPhone software, so okay. I'm involved in the Nashville game development community, so I'm going to have some of those guys out, talk about some light game development topics, not like super technical heavy stuff, but more encourage people to get started into development and let them know that there's a group here and how they can connect and that sort of thing.
And full disclosure to my audience, he did also reach out to me. I just can't make it out that weekend, so I guess I'm a positive person too.
Yeah, I mean, the panel that that you were on was definitely a good one.
Yeah,
yeah, the one talking about charity stuff and Project Pinball and all that, and that was those were all really great. I've been following Project Pinball before that, mm-hmm. so stuff like that is I like to support that kind of stuff too. So
what have been some of your biggest challenges trying to start up an event like this from scratch?
Probably two big things. One was actually getting the machines. I didn't foresee that being so much of a problem, but, my original thought was, I'm going to give away a brand new virtual pin, which one of our sponsors is VP Cabs, and they make these really great virtual pin machines. So yeah, well, if you would have brought a game, you'd have been entered to win. I still am. So that's our big giveaway is a virtual pin, and every machine you bring, you get one entry. And I thought that people would just, be beating down the door to bring in machines, but I just had a harder time getting through to people. People are on a Facebook group in Nashville, and I was noticing that they don't see the posts really. And when I would actually get through to collectors, they'd be like, "Oh man, that sounds great. The show sounds great." But they didn't know about it. So just a realization that how difficult it is to actually get through kind of the social media thing is more of a, you don't want to rely on that because there's the realization that, people just don't really see everything you post and, your emails directly to them. A lot of people don't see those. And so it's just a lot of legwork to track people down and to actually get them involved. That was definitely more than I was planning on, but it's coming together okay. But it's taking a lot of work for sure.
Yeah. Facebook is not the best at showing people things unless you pay money.
Yeah. Those the Facebook ads do work pretty well, but even friends of mine that I know I've even told, you know, about the event here now, like the past couple weeks, like, oh man, I didn't realize you were putting that on. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, really? Because I know we've had this conversation several times, and it's like been on my Facebook. But yeah, you know, people are busy. They, you know, they see things, but a lot of times it doesn't register. So it's the more info that's out there, just the harder it is to get through.
Yeah. So I guess is that kind of the thing you would kind of the advice you wish you had gotten at the beginning of all this?
Well, I mean, I kind of knew some of that, but it's just I don't know how to correct the problem. I mean, I guess now that I've made contact with a lot of people, they'll be more aware next time. But people I tried to get in touch with months ago, you know, people are just harder to commit to far out, right? So if someone's asking you to bring something in November and it's March when you're asking, they're like, oh, sure, check back with me later or something. And then it's just off their mind.
Right.
So I think probably just part of the necessity is a lot of that's going to happen the couple months prior, which is when you're the busiest. But I don't know that that's something that that you can plan around or, you know, do too early. It just doesn't seem to work. Yeah. We'll see next year, I guess.
Yeah, usually the first year is always the hardest.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and then when people know about it, they're like, oh, next year, and they start planning for next year. So
yeah.
That's usually the way I've seen it with the first year conventions.
And then, you know, some people don't, you know, if they don't know you, once some other people say that they're involved, then that encourages other people because they're like, oh, okay, well, this, you know, yeah, this guy's letting them use some machines, so it seems legit, you know. And then the other aspect that was really tough was the tournaments. Because I thought I would have an easier time finding some people to run some of the tournaments because I can't run them myself and be up front selling tickets and run around.
And especially when there's a huge community like the Smash community
that,
that definitely want it run a very specific way and are very vocal about it.
Yeah, and you know there's cash prizes involved, so you definitely want to run it right. You don't want people to question the... you know, how it was run, and you want to build on that. So if you run a bad one the first year, you know, you may not get people the next year.
Yeah.
So it's been a challenge to get responsible people to kind of run that, because a lot of the local tournaments, you know, they're just a lot of kids in college, and they're not running on a large scale, and they're borrowing machines, and... I mean, there are some events that have it well organized, but it's not that many. So to try and really get it nailed down where, I feel good about it running smoothly, it is taking a lot of work for sure.
So you were actually saying earlier, this is more about you. You've got a whole bunch of machines on your own. So I got two questions. A, can I be your friend? And B, which one's your favorite?
Yeah, you can stop by any time, man.
Right,
you know, they're in my basement, so I've got a nice basement down there. So they're not, like, piled all in my – well, actually, they are piled in my garage at this point, too. But the nice ones are in the basement. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I've got a lot of favorites. Dragon's Lair was always one of my favorites. That was the Laserdisc game, the first one that came out. It's just always amazing when I see it run, you know. It's hard to play, and it confuses people these days, especially young kids. When they walk up to it, they expect every time they move the joystick that the game's going to do something, but, it's waiting for a certain timed event, so that throws people off.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's one of my favorites, and Kung Fu Master is one of my favorites, too. That's not really a rare or sought-after game, but... It was always one that I just loved. Loved kicking get the little midget dudes jump at you and do the somersaults and the little dragon things. And it's a classic platformer, you know. Mm-hmm. Can't go wrong with that. So.
So what's your dream game? Like, if you could get one more, what would be the game you would absolutely want in your basement?
Well, right now it's switched to pinball, so it'd probably be definitely a brand new KISS pinball machine from Stern is one that I want bad because I'm a huge KISS fan. Mm-hmm. I've seen KISS a bunch of times in concert. Mm-hmm. My kids are now singing rock and roll all night, right. So I've accomplished that, distilling that onto my kids.
Right.
But yeah, the KISS pinball machine, I love the classic one too, like the old Bally machine. But, you know, it's just not as exciting to play. The brand new one looks great and is exciting, so... That's on my list. I was hoping if the expo goes well, I could actually buy one, but we'll see at this point.
No, I understand. My pinball tables, I'd want the old Doctor Who one. That's one of my...
That's a cool one.
And then out of the new ones, like you, I was a Metallica fan. So like,
okay.
Now you were KISS, I was Metallica. So the Metallica Stern table that came out a couple years ago, out of the new ones, I enjoyed.
I love that. I mean, the artwork on that is great. The dude that did that artwork is fantastic. Same with KISS too. I like they did those, you know, stylized instead of putting, you know, real pictures of them like they did with AC/DC and Rolling Stones and stuff. They kind of, that doesn't age well, you know.
Right.
Picture of the old Rolling Stones up there on the back glass.
No.
It's not as cool as if they would have drawn it.
Well, awesome. So tell us about the expo. Tell us, like, when it is, how much is it, where can people get tickets, or is it sold out? What's going on?
You can get tickets. It's grandoleexpo.com is the website. That's O-L-E. If you spell it wrong, you'll still get there. I'll redirect you. But, yeah, it starts November 11th, 4 p.m. on Friday is when it opens, and it won't close until 5 p.m. on Sunday. Mm-hmm. The only part that does close is the arcade pinball room. It closes at 4 in the morning, Friday and Saturday nights. But
And it opens again at 4:01 a.m.?
Yeah, exactly. That opens again at 10 in the morning when the actual ticket counter opens again. So, I mean, if you buy a one-day ticket, you pretty much get most of that night, too, because no one's going to be there to... Well, I mean, people will be there, but no one's going to kick you out, right? So it's a good value. But, yeah, you can get single-day tickets. They're 30 for adults. And the weekend, the whole weekend is 60, so you get a day free, basically, if you buy the weekend pass. And then teenagers, those tickets are sharply discounted. And then if you're a little kid, you just get in for free. So trying to make it really family-friendly as far as, you know, bringing everybody out. Bringing all your kids, it doesn't add up that much. So, hotel rooms are available. If you're coming from out of town, you'll definitely want to do that so you can stay up all night and game and have fun there at the hotel. So,
awesome. Well, it's the Grand Ole Game Room Expo, grandoleexpo.com, November 11th through 13th. Tickets are available. This is not Penny Arcade Expo, which I believe tickets went on sale this weekend. They're already sold out, so you don't want to go there. You want to go to Nashville instead, because trust me, Nashville can be a lot of fun. David, thank you so much for spending some time with me.
Yeah, it was great, man. Thanks for having me on.
So there you go. There you have it. That's the interview. That is the show for tonight. I might as well go ahead and give the passphrase right here. If you're listening on the live feed, this won't work yet. But when the podcast episode goes up, you can go ahead and just try to remember this passphrase and put it in on the site and get the 5 points that you would have gotten if we were live tonight. To register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwolf Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase flesh. So that's it. I would usually be back next Sunday night, but I'm not going to be. So in 2 weeks we will have a live show, and then we'll have another week off. So it's October and November really seem to suck for having these shows. But usually we're live Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific here at the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. You can catch us live, interact with the show directly when it is not the end of October or the middle of November, apparently, because real life gets in the way. You can leave me a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper for use in the show on the toll-free number, which is 1-888-36-GAME-1, or you can email me an MP3 with just your voice to bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com. I'm on Facebook, facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf, or Twitter @BobbyBlackWolf. And you can also submit feedback on the episode pages at VogNetwork.com. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. I know the show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. And normally I would read the chatters that participated, but I'm sure Act Deft and Dark Tetsuya and SJ Winner Matt and Breakman and Raginator, I'm sure they're all there right now. And so I just read their names, but I didn't read everybody's name. But I'm sure everybody's there because OLR is still live and Orange Lounge Radio is going to be talking about the plausible NX reveal and it's going to be great. So sorry about not being there live. Sorry we won't be there live next week. But at least we got something new for you and I hope to see you guys in 2 weeks when I come back for 1 week only and then we'll take another week off. Real life. But I'm glad to be here. And thanks for letting me into your podcast ears. So see you guys next week. And don't drown in the NX hype or Switch stuff.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.